The Dolphins aren't going to make you cry. Not yet. Not yet. We say good morning to everybody. And big day. Big day coming up. You heard the joint practice stuff. Third preseason game. Jacksonville's in town. 10:15 start this morning. It's very easy. Just go out. You want to see it? Really, probably of all the practices, and we haven't had a lot because they're on the road basically for 2 weeks on their two road games and staying on the road. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Travis Hunter. Everybody's saying he's going to practice. He's been a little banged up, but he's going to practice. And I'm just curious. Second overall pick and one of the most unique guys we've had come into the league in a long, long time. And then more importantly, I guess, is Dolphins got to figure some things out on some decisions, get through this preseason game on Saturday night. And in case you're wondering, next Tuesday is the NFL roster cut down deadline to 53. So whether you have 87, 88, 89, or the full 90 right now to get through that last preseason game. And by the way, the second half of this third preseason game, you'll see a lot of guys won't be on the team. You will see a lot of guys that will not be on that football team. And they're going to be playing their ass off because they realize there's a good chance they're not going to be on this team, and they are hoping to hit a practice squad or a team near you. And actually, that was part of a commercial, but hopefully get on with another NFL team and with all the spots on the practice squad that you have. And it's a little different game, man, today. And the, one of the things I do like is you can develop your own guys. And I don't know what half the guys probably at some point during the year, if not more, get called up. They practice with the team and, you know, as long as somebody else doesn't grab them and put them on the 53-man roster, you are able to work with some guys. And there's still some decisions that need to be made, and we'll get into all the stuff yesterday. So Matthew Judon wasted very little time signing, going out and practicing and dominating. Just how about that? Go out there and have a couple of sacks in the first practice and everything else. And, of course, that position – and I keep some thinking of Coach Weaver saying you can't have enough pass rushers. You know, Judon and the rest of the guys you have, Chubb, Phillips, and Chop. And then Quentin Bell, who was kind of the fourth guy last year, started some games, played a lot. Derek McClendon and Grayson Murphy. And then good old Cam Good, who is by far the best special teams linebacker you have. And I keep saying this. May not be a big deal because we're looking at all the front liners and the stars and all that stuff. But the kickoff is going to have a lot bigger role this year on special teams and field position. And those three or four guys that can run down and when you kick the ball and save you 8, 10, 12 yards on every return, they're pretty friggin' valuable. Field position. Not that we come in here and talk about field. Nobody wants to hear about field position. I can't remember last time somebody said, hey, Joe, how about our field position? But it is important. It is important to those coaches and keeping people, you know, and backing people up into crappy field position or for your offense to get better field position is important. So guys like Cam Good are pretty damn important. Pretty damn important. So for some reason, I'm guessing – Cam Good's going to be here. I'll be shocked if he's not because you got to keep a couple of guys that do nothing but special teams. And, I mean, listen, you want them to be able – I've talked to Mike Westhoff about this, and, of course, Mike never's going to sit in a meeting and stay quiet when he was coaching, probably to the point of being a pain in the ass. But Mike would stand up and scream, and the coordinators on offense and defense, the stories go from him, is like, well, I really like this guy. And Mike would go, that's great, you like him as your backup, but he can't play special teams. He's going to kill me. And then Mike would go to Coach Shula and go, look at man, I need three or four guys. These guys, I don't care how good they are on offense or defense, they're by far my best special teams players, and I need a couple of them, or my special teams aren't going to be very good with what I think I coach up. And, you know, Mike doesn't lack confidence and didn't when he was coaching. So those debates will go on. I'm guessing there'll be a lot of that stuff going on as they go down to the final cuts and try to figure out who's going to be there. We've got all kinds of other stuff going on here. I got to mention this, the 2025 Broward County National Football Showcase. Broward County's putting on eight games this year. Three of them start tonight. By the way, the games will be on ESPN on national TV on Saturday. How about that one? How crazy is that? We've got three teams ranked in the top 10 in Broward County. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Not in all the polls, but the one I was looking at, Chaminade at 7, American Heritage Plantation at 8, and St. Thomas Aquinas at 10. By the way, when was the last time St. Thomas Aquinas was ranked the third highest ranked team in Broward County? Northwestern came in 11 in Dade County, and they're loaded. Teddy, thank you, by the way, on behalf of Miami and those people that spit on you a little bit, thank you for loading up that team. And he's got his guys in place. I think they're going to have a great year. I think Northwestern's going to be really, really good. All those guys stayed. They didn't run when Teddy got suspended. And I don't know if he got suspended. I mean, how do you suspend a guy you're not paying? But anyway, a lot of other stuff. So anyway, we got those games on Saturday. And you can watch them on TV if you don't want to go out. I believe they're both at St. Thomas Aquinas. But today at 4 o'clock, Piper and Peachtree Ridge in Georgia. And then 7 o'clock, Cardinal Gibbons, Archbishop McCarthy, and tonight at 8, Monarch versus the Jacksonville Bulls, who's always got a little powerhouse up there in Jacksonville. So that's just a teaser, and there'll be 8 games all weekend long if you want to go out and watch a little high school football. And then the big boys will play towards the end of tomorrow and on Saturday. So we have a lot of cool stuff going on, and we'll be getting into more of that. Of course, besides all that, we will get in these last preseason games. And again, I don't know yet who's playing and who's not playing. So they're going to practice. Apparently, everybody's already talking about they're going to go at it pretty hard today. And I just say this, if you want to go out, I know the kids are in school, but if you want to, it's a 10:15 practice, screw the tickets, just go out there. People take the tickets and they don't go. I don't know what the number is, but they grab them because they're free. You wouldn't be doing that if your ass was paying a couple hundred dollars for those tickets. But anyway, you want to go out, just go out there. Say, I'm here, I want to watch practice, and I'm guessing there's a real good chance you're going to be in good shape, and I'm looking forward to the one-on-ones and all the stuff, 7-on-7, especially for a lot of these guys that know already they're not going to be playing on Saturday. I guess they'll get after it pretty good because this will be the last time they get after it, this joint practice. And it'll be back to just practicing against your own guys with a game plan for week one coming up after these cuts. So that's where it is, and these teams want to get a good look at the twos and threes. So I don't know how many snaps, if any, the number ones will get in this game coming up here. So got a lot of stuff, a lot of other stuff, a lot of news within the team to get to here on the tough decisions that have to be made. It's good to see Darren Waller's activated on their game plan to get him somehow ready in a real short period of time, and Drew's saying, oh, no, he's been running full speed behind the scenes and catching footballs for a while. He's ready to go. And I just tell everybody, it's one thing to go out and throw with the guy. It's another to put that uniform on and run around and get bumped a little bit, if not a lot, before it's all live. I am not a big fan, and I think the guys that hold out, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Kim Bocamper will be in and join us this morning. But the guys that hold out and are standing there, and you see them every night now, you see Micah Parsons and Trey Hendrickson right there at practice, and they're kind of watching like coaches, and they're not out there. And then at some point they're going to go, well, screw it, I'm going to go back out and play. And I don't care how great athlete you are, I don't know, percentages of getting injured go way up when you go from walking and watching practice and stretching and maybe going through a couple of half-speed drills but staying away from all the competitive stuff. And now you're going at the highest level, going 100 miles an hour in a game. And you haven't been doing it. Even the great athletes are going to break down, man. And so that's what the Dolphins been doing with Darren Waller. But at some point, he's going to have to pick the speed up and get bumped a little bit, as I like to say. Run around and get hit and be in a crowd with the guys going after you a little bit and everybody going for the ball at the same time and learning how to get tackled again and all those things. It's just, listen, man, game time, game is just different. And I know everybody's, I just want my guys healthy for the opener. That's good. But if you haven't played, I don't know who started this. Aaron Rodgers won the original, right? I think he didn't play in preseason, won an MVP. I think, and he's the one that goes, nobody needs this. This is a joke. Why are we playing preseason games? I disagree 100%. I think young guys really need it out there and trying to figure out who can play. And again, I'm not a 4 preseason guy. I wasn't. I think 3 might be too many, although I'm not sure how many guys want to play 18 regular season games. Try staying healthy. I want to see the numbers when they get to 18 games. How many guys stay healthy and playing all 18 games? That'll be an interesting one, unless, especially with all the Thursday games and the short weeks and everything else. Although money's got a way of talking, right? Money's got a way of you up my salary a little bit and you go, well, I guess, you know, I'll be all right. I'll be a little sore, but I can play in that game. So maybe we will get a little bit of that. Hey, when we come back here, we've got more news with the Dolphins. And some guys are going to be interesting to see what's going to happen between now and Tuesday. Just a few guys. And one competition of a guy making a fast move and screaming to get some carries in that first game. We're going to talk about him. His situation and everything else around it, not to mention the secondary, which continues to be a hot topic with everybody and the Miami Dolphins. Media and coaches just can't agree. We'll find out next week who is telling the truth and who knows. Anyway, all that's coming up. First, though, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Never too early in the morning to talk about South Florida Chevy dealers and the great SUV family they have. I know I don't talk about cars. I probably don't talk about the trucks enough. Yeah, our number one seller is a Silverado truck. Yeah, 4 strong options for you. Durable trucks. We take a lot of pride in the heavy lifting you do at your job or working on your own, and a truck that can stay durable for you 5, 6, 7 days a week. We make a perfect Silverado truck for you and your lifestyle, whether it's a family truck that also has to work on the weekends to full-time, just you and that truck. That's how you make a living. Boy, do they have a truck that's absolutely perfect for you. But the SUV family, man, is on a run right now. The all-new Equinox. Oh, my gosh, all that convenient driver tech. The electric Equinox SUV. Plenty of room for the family and friends. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it has got a great look to it. I know you're going to love. Right over to the 2025 Traverse. I call it just a little brother to the Tahoe. By the way, I got myself that 2025 Tahoe. I love it. And if you're thinking about a Tahoe or a Suburban, do it. If you're going, I really could use that room, do it. And stop by this weekend at your South Florida Chevy dealers where you get a chance. We got some great deals going on. We got convenient locations all over South Florida for you to really have a great experience. If you haven't been to a South Florida Chevy dealer in recent years, well, I'll tell you what, you're missing out on something special. Stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. They got outstanding offers going on right now. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Hey, I just want to say this. We got some great college football games coming up, and they're right around the corner. Miami's in one of the 3 big games to kind of kick things off here. And I know some other good games. Don't get me wrong. We'll probably have some great games. Miami Notre Dame, of course, we're going to talk about the Texas Ohio State game, though. 1-2. And the reason I bring it up is this on the media, this not on this young kid. Like Arch Manning, you know, Peyton and Eli are his uncles. Everybody knows that. And his grandfather is Archie Manning, who was a damn good quarterback on some damn bad teams in his day for the Saints when they were wearing the bags over the head. Yes, he was a quarterback, and it wasn't him. They just could never figure things out, but he played on some really, really bad teams. Anyway, they're known as the official quarterback family of football. They are, any level, and they got the big camps and everything. So Arch Manning comes out a couple years ago as a five-star guy and goes to Texas and has been backing up Quinn Ewers, ironically, who's now playing with the Miami Dolphins and a lot of you guys like and all the good things he's doing here. So Arch, I believe, got two starts. I think that's what I heard. The number was two starts since he's been there. A lot of people said, wow, he didn't play his freshman year, going to have to play him. Well, he didn't play a lot his sophomore year. So now he's going into his third year, and he's the man. Can we just let him play before the media starts asking him, are you coming back for a fourth year? Like, I don't know. Let's see how he does in year three as a full-time starter before we decide about the fourth year. We I don't know when this started that we have to look ahead. Like, same thing with Tyreek Hill. He's going to get traded. But how about we just start season and see what happens? Like, we don't want anything now to play out. We're already worried about next year. And Arch Manning is a great example of what has happened in sports. And so the media are asking him, and so now, you know, his grandfather comes out and says, oh, he's definitely coming back for a fourth year. I don't know why Arch decided to, you know, start talking about what his grandson's going to do. But anyway, he did. And so, and Arch just wants to, like, I give the kid credit. He goes, hey, you know, I've only played. You guys already got me as the first overall pick in the three or four teams I might go to. Because they've been doing that, too. Oh, yeah. The Saints want to be real bad because they want him back home. Because their family, obviously, is a Saints family and grew up. That's where Gramps was and Arch played. And so, yeah, oh, yeah, there, three or four teams are purposely, and now they're saying, you know, RG3 comes out. And, oh, the Colts are tanking, and they're trying to get Arch Manning. Oh, my God. How about we let the kid play and see how good he is? I don't know if we've ever had that much pressure on a guy that I don't think he has to win every game. I mean, but we expect him, like, to be the number one quarterback, stay healthy, and all those things, which, hey, it may happen. Don't get me wrong. He's in a great situation. They're loaded. They have a lot of talent. Don't get me wrong. And he's got a lot of talent. The guys he's playing with, it's a super loaded team. Hell, they're ranked number one in the country, obviously. But damn, can we let that kid play before we start worrying about, hey, you coming back for your fourth year? I don't know. I'm in the middle of camp right now. I haven't played a game yet this year. I haven't played a year in year three. I haven't played a third game. I haven't started a third game yet. You're asking me if I'm going to come back for that fourth year. I don't know. He should just come out and be cocky like, yeah, I'm 3-and-done. We'd be crushing that kid if he did that. Oh, my God. Look how cocky that kid is. If he say, I'm going to win the Heisman, I'm going to win the national championship, and I'm going to be the first pick, and I hope I go back home. Just piss everybody off. Oh, that kid's so arrogant. And if you've been around the Manning family, that's not their thing. It's a pretty grounded family. Anyway, this is what you get, man, when your grandfather and your two uncles are both going to be Hall of Fame quarterbacks. One.
Yeah, but the media can do better, right?
They can do better, I would think.
It's such a bizarre question to ask the kid. He's getting ready for the biggest game of his life.
Yeah,
and you're hitting him with, you coming back?
He's trying to figure out how to beat the number two, by the way, in front of, what, 100,000 people at Ohio State.
Yeah, and who knows how good he's going to end up being, right? Like, I get that there's an unbelievable amount of hype around him.
Well, there's an unbelievable amount of talent around him, but you still got to play before you decide. Yeah. First of all, it's kind of weird that he's been this good. He had to wait 3 years to play.
Yeah.
And they're lucky it was the Manning family, because a lot of guys would have been gone. When they found out in year two, Quinn Ewers is going to be the starter, goodbye. And the kid, you know, he stayed. They go, no, you're going to be the guy. You're going to be the guy.
You know, the guy they said that was going to be the first pick in the draft last year going into the season was Shedeur Sanders. He fell to the fifth round. So
he was one of those guys at the top.
They said sure he was going to be Cam the Ward. First one. No, Cam Ward wasn't in the conversation. They said he was going to be the first player picked, and he fell to the fifth round. So let's, you know, let this guy play just a little bit here.
But, you know, we
call him the first pick and all this other stuff.
But we got the, and I got to tell you, the overreaction to preseason football this year is at an all-time
high.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to have team meetings because your twos and threes don't play well, and you get smokes or calling team meetings. Like, okay. You're really – I've had those team meeting, player-only meetings, and, you know, we got to get together. No coaches, just the players. We need to talk. Okay. Let's see who's on the team before we have this discussion. Some of the guys you're talking to won't be here. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And then that leads to, you know, some of the competition that's going on. And I would just say this to everybody. Let everything play out. Let everything play out this week and see what it looks like for the opener. And then if your favorite players aren't playing, and I'm really talking about Ollie Gordon II, who's pushing Jalen Wright. Listen, he is pushing Jalen Wright. There's nobody can tell you differently. I don't want to hear about what he's doing behind the scenes, and he's better on the chalkboard, and he gets there earlier than another guy. I don't want to hear about any of that. Your eyes tell you what is true, and that is Ollie Gordon is making up ground real quickly on Jalen Wright for the number two running back. He just is. Your eyes are not lying to you. You can watch those guys. We can be fooled on the line of scrimmage because a lot of us don't watch the line of scrimmage, and I'm guilty. Unless I see a big hole open up and I see the guys in front of them, sometimes somebody will go, hey, guy graded out great. You know, I'll see that Pro Football Focus and, hey, the guy, the number one, two, or one or two guys that grade out well and play great. And I go, man, I didn't even know. Did not notice. Didn't call him for bad plays, but never really noticed the other way. So,
boy, that guy's been the fan favorite of camp, though, huh?
Who's that, Ollie Gordon?
Yeah.
Well, but you've seen him catch the ball. You've seen him run.
Well, Achan's hurt, which is kind of concerning, by the way. You know, everyone's got a different, like, time on that injury, too, because this is fantasy draft season, and now, like, you know, people are weighing in. Some people are like, oh, they think he's going to be hurt into the season. Or some people say he'll be ready to go. That's an iffy one, man.
I don't know. I don't know if it's iffy or not. I don't. I can't even comment on that. You're playing doctor,
yeah.
And I don't know. I would just say this, yes. If you work off and we said, oh, this guy's going to be back soon, and we had some guys that didn't come back soon, and I'm guessing the team was very frustrated by that, but Eichenberg gave him this contract he, like, signed, and we haven't seen him. Supposed to be one of the key backups. Austin Jackson, how close is he? We need him back. Andrew Meyer got injured, and they go, oh, he'll be out for a while. I don't know what that means. Does that mean they won't be ready for the start of the season? Yeah, those are great questions. And then the soft tissue thing that we're talking about with Achan. And anyway, man, I don't know. But if he is a little banged up, he won't get as many carries in the Colts game. I'm guessing they'd be real careful. And with that, the question's going to be Jalen Wright and and Ollie Gordon. Ollie Gordon, you look at it. He's strong. He's the strongest running dude of all these running backs. If I need a yard, from what I've seen, are you with me, Woody, if we need that yard thing that we have struggled with, getting that yard, whether it's down on the goal line or short yardage, trying to get that yard. That's a new thing. Trying to get that yard. If you got to get that yard, okay, my eyes tell me Ollie Gordon gives you the best chance at 225 pounds.
Not ever Tyreek thinks.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. Jeez. By the way.
Just let him figure it out.
Speaking of quiet camps, I have said this, and most of you that go to camp, and some of you listening right now do go out there and watch the practices. I said the first year, Tyreek Hill had the greatest camp I've ever seen. The most dominant camp I've ever seen, I should say. Guys have had good camps. He was open.
But that's because he's freakish to watch, though.
No.
Like, he's but, next level.
But
fast.
He was running by guys. He got guys cut. He got Iggy and some of those guys cut on his own.
Practice.
He literally was running by guys by, and it wasn't by a step or two. I remember the Eagles are here, and he goes, dude, I'm going to run a takeoff and run by. And he ran by him.
Yeah.
And the story was, he told us, he goes, hey, I'm going to run a takeoff. So you're in bump and run. And you're not very fast, and he ran by him.
That's why people are going at A to see Travis Hunter.
Yes.
They want to see that kind of speed.
But this Tyreek Hill's been, I mean, they are.
Quiet's okay, though, right?
Quiet's good because they're trying to get him healthy.
Yeah.
They're trying to get, you know, and this offense, in case you haven't noticed recently, you hear defense dominates. Now, some of it is the offensive line. It is. It's fair. Omar, it's fair. But the other part of it, it's nothing against the second batch of receivers going to be on this team. They are not those two guys. And you know that by what you got paid. How much we miss Waddle kind of just coming back and Tyreek Hill not practicing. It's just such a big part of our offense the first 2 years. Right? The first 2 years, those guys put up numbers like we've never seen. Ever. Clayton and Duper-ish. And now, last year you saw what happened. Whether you're on the, we couldn't protect the quarterback, or our backups couldn't get him the ball, or whatever, the numbers dropped off. We got to get those numbers back up, man. We can talk about running game, and I agree. We got to establish a running game. We got to do this. We got to get those two dudes on the outside. Got to get them going again with Tua. And obviously, Tua is still why we're sitting here talking and yelling at each other about who should be the backup quarterback and whether it should be an open competition or in your eyes, Ewers is better. If he's better now, he'll be better in the game. When even if he has a game plan, they have a game plan against him, and all this stuff. We just need Tua to stay healthy for 17 so we don't have to talk about who's the backup quarterback. That would take care of a lot of that stuff. All right, we've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as, again, practice. Last one. This is it. If you were going to go out, this is it today as the Fins and Jags joint practice 10-15. This probably will be a lot more entertaining today than the preseason game on Saturday, to be honest, with everybody getting a chance to go. And again, we don't know exactly who's going to play on Saturday and who's not. I know in previous years it hadn't been a great time for starters to play a lot, maybe a little bit. But today they'll get after it pretty good. And so if you want to go out there, don't worry about the ticket. Just go. I mean, I could tell you go. Don't worry about the ticket situation. We are finding out a lot of people grab tickets and then, I didn't pay for them. I'm not going. Well, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. I'd rather do that. That sounds better. All right. Right now, I want to talk about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and low T. Had them both. I'm not proud of it, by the way, for guys that think it's funny. It just happens to every guy. And by the way, the guys that's laughing, I had a young guy laugh and go, dude, I think it's so funny you talk about Atlantic Men's Clinic in ED and low T and all that stuff, and you're not working in bed and you're tired all the time. You gained all that weight. I go, yeah, man, guess what? It's going to happen to you too. The question is when. He goes, what do you mean? You know, a lot of guys don't realize that, man, that your energy levels, your low T levels get super low. You are dragging. You're tired. You feel half depressed, you're in a fog, you don't sleep well at night. Then when you're not active, you know how this works, still eating the same amount of food, if not more, because you're watching so much TV, and you put on a quick 20 to 25 pounds. How about that? I did that. Couldn't wait. Saw that picture one day. Well, I saw it after I couldn't get in my suit, and I went, okay, I'm a fat ass, and I got to lose some weight. Well, listen, Atlantic Men's Clinic can help you get rid of low T and ED. This is what they specialize in. I can't say it enough. You go down, they got 7 locations, including a brand new one in Hollywood. You get your T, your PSA test done, and meet with their professionals. They're going to put you on a great program that's made for you specifically to get great results quickly. So all you have to do is set up that first appointment, 877-455-7300. If you didn't write it down, don't worry. You can visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Get more information. But if you're going to do it the right way with Atlantic Men's Clinic. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody as camp's just about ready to close down here. This went by kind of fast, didn't it, Woody? Feel like it went by fast?
It feels like football season got here very fast.
Yeah, so they...
Next week is game week, man.
I know. It's crazy.
Actually, we'd have games this weekend.
Yeah, which...
But, you know, not that those really...
Well, listen...
Matter to us, but...
The big daddies in college football are getting after it next... next week.
We come in Monday, it'll be game week for the Miami Hurricanes.
And
then it'll be game week for the Dolphins.
Sunday.
We're ready to roll, man.
Sunday night, Notre Dame comes down here after going to the national championship game. And
boy, both teams have big games to open up the season. That Dolphin game is huge.
That is...
I can't remember an opener feeling more important for the Dolphins, because like we lose that game, Joe, you're not going to come in here and say, it's 1 of 17. That's always your line. You always say that.
I don't remember what I say, but thank you for remembering exactly
say. You like to look big picture. That game, if you lose that game, would be disastrous for the Dolphins.
Well, listen, nothing can be crazier than last year's first game. Nothing. Wasn't that Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
With Tyreek outside? Video thinking somebody pulled a prank on you.
That's true, yeah.
And then the Dolphins call and said, yeah, no, there's an issue. Can you guys, we're not exactly sure. I go, so you're telling me him getting arrested on the ground where it's 200 degrees is not a joke?
Well, at least this year they'll be taking the team bus to the game.
So yeah, we're going to be on the road.
Probably won't get arrested
We'll be in Indy for sure.
But this game feels huge for an opener. Like, this feels like it's going to set the tone for the entire season because it just gets tougher.
Well,
the Colts stink.
Well, I don't know if anybody stinks.
The Colts are not very good, right? The Colts are going to be one of the, I don't want to say worst teams in the NFL, but they will not be good, right? They don't have the potential to be a very good team.
I just, the Daniel Jones thing.
Yes, the Daniel Jones thing's a thing.
And the fact that your first round pick a couple years ago was taken fourth overall is not going to be the quarterback. Yeah, that's.
But you pair that with the fact that the Dolphins have taken a beating during the offseason from everyone. It has been as bad of an offseason for that franchise.
It's been a long time
as I can remember.
It's been a rough one.
I mean, people piled on this thing, how bad it was, how dysfunctional it was.
Well, they did some of it to themselves, to be fair.
Of course
it wasn't
they did.
Like it was made up stuff.
Oh,
there was.
I don't think people are out to get them.
There was stuff that was like, I just want to let you know, this is not going on a lot of NFL, most NFL cities. Now,
but you have a chance in that game to either prove those people wrong or prove them really right. You go into Indy and you lay an egg. And I don't know, man. I just
Woody,
think
we've been
a,
on this
got
and
a potential
Woody,
to really snowball on
we,
you.
We've been on this thing. I totally agree with you. This opener
it's
is
not 1 of 17 to me, man. That is a big, big ball game.
I think I've been saying that with you.
Yep.
Yeah, we've been on that. I totally agree. You got to get off to a good start, and that's one of the teams indoors and everything else that you just need to shorthand in the cornerback position. Sign Xavier Howard. Those two guys, if X-Man is playing, those two need to go after a guy who's out of football a year ago. And I know he knows them and everything else. But
because if you lose that game, chances are, Joe, your offensive line didn't play very well, right? You probably got carved up in the secondary.
Yeah,
those
no,
would be
no.
Probably the
well,
reason you lose
I'm not going to read in why they're going to lose it. If they lose it, usually turnovers and stupid penalties, calling big plays back. I mean, you can go through a list of reasons you lose games. But yes, you got to win those games. Hey, by the way, and I wanted to say this before we hit the 7 o'clock hour. So, this thing that's been going back and forth with a combination of the media and the fans who can see it for themselves. And the names on the jerseys, and now the team has come out, led by the head coach, and then the defensive coordinator talking about, you guys are reading too much into this secondary. We really like these guys, and they play our system well, and the front seven's going to put a lot of pressure, and that's going to help them, you know. And Coach Weaver's right. He was really good when he's talking about this. Like, if anybody has too much time to throw and you don't get there, you're getting carved up by everybody in the league's going to carve you up. Yeah, because you can't with today's rules and stuff, to run around and try to cover a guy for 5 or 6 seconds is damn near impossible. And you're right. No matter what your name is, if you're starting out there or you're one of the top three receivers, you're asking to get open. There's no question about it. But the team is like yesterday, like, oh, my God, Jason Marshall has moved inside. He just looks like a natural and played real well, and talking about Jack Jones making plays and really love his style. And it was a pretty good love affair yesterday, a nice love fest going on. And meanwhile, they're going, oh, this is not – other people are going, they got to go out and get – well, you know what? We're going to find out who's telling the truth next Tuesday in the afternoon for the NFL cutdown deadline at 53. We're going to find out. Not only in the cutdown, but in the next few days after the cutdown, we will find out if they really feel that strongly about the guys that they have right now. I think the other thing is to find out, speaking of guys injured, how long is Ethan Bonner? They go days to weeks, which I always love when Mike does that. He goes days to weeks. And I'm like, so I take days could be 3 or 4. I don't think a hamstring's 3 or 4 days. And weeks.
They have not been very forthcoming on.
Well, it's just like.
They don't have to be.
No, he doesn't have to. Huh. Like, hey, man. Not gonna.
That's only for offensive players. We only care about that for offensive players for fantasy purposes.
That's true. Yeah. I guess they're not a lot.
It'd
on the
be nice
guys
if they were
defense.
A little more forthcoming on that, but.
But for everybody going back and forth and coach talking about you know what we look at and what you guys look at, you guys see and we see everything every day and we really like so okay. And I always take into consideration Mike McDaniel is super positive about everything, which I, as a former player, appreciate. I do. I appreciate him not being out there when I have a bad practice, saying if he didn't pick it up. Joe Rose had another bad practice today. I always love when people are like, why can't he just tell us? Well, you want him ripping the whole team? I can tell you. I said this last night on a podcast. I had a fun time last night doing a podcast. And I said the most humiliating – they go, what's the toughest thing to go through playing professional football? Nobody wanted to have a bad game, but you're going to have bad games. You're going to have bad plays. You are. The worst thing that can happen, I saw it happen to a lot of guys, and then it happened to me. It happens, either a bad play that you could tell the coaches – Don Shula was upset about. But if you want to try something and really get somebody's attention and really piss them off, I don't know how today's people handle it. Where you call everybody in to a meeting and the CEO or the president or head of sales gets up in front of everybody, a decision maker, stands up in front of everybody and calls one person out. In front of all your peers. Oh, my God. Woody, it's the most humiliating. You would do terrible at it. You would just, it would.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You would. Well, most people. Look, I didn't like it. It hurt. And I go, oh, no.
I don't think anyone likes it.
I go, oh, no, here it comes. Hey, run that back. So I got to ask you. We talked about this all last week. What are you doing? So then they show you falling down or flipping or the guy throwing you down or something, and you hear everybody laughing. It's not only just the yelling, but it's the fact that now all the guys are laughing at your play. And I was just like, this is the worst, man. This is – and he runs it back and forth.
Well, that's why we don't do that anymore.
No,
guys,
we don't,
right?
We don't do
the
that.
The friendlier approach.
I think you show it, but you don't like
– You don't humiliate.
No, you don't.
No.
You know – And then for the guys that – I love this one. I've said this story before. Durrell Harris called out the coach on a Monday Night Football game. After the game, he didn't catch a football in the second half. This was before Dan Marino. And Durrell was really good. He was a really good receiver. A lot of guys didn't like him, but Durrell Harris was really – come on, everybody. Durrell Harris is really good. Not Clayton and Duper good and not more good, but he was really good. So he, after the game, he goes, hey, man, I Why did you throw the ball? Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me why I didn't get a football thrown? Go ask the fat man. And I was standing next to, I was sitting next to him in a locker about two down, and I heard it, you know, because they went around him. Always go to the best players after the game. And I went, oh, my God, you did not say that. Because Shoes was sensitive about the stomach. Because he worked out. I mean, Coach Shula always jogged and ran gassers.
So he really said that.
And I was like,
that's wild.
And I got to tell you, man, we got in that meeting.
Yeah.
Because they went right to him. You know, writers, they just go, hey, Coach, Darrell Harris said you purposely didn't throw him the football in the second half. And if that he didn't understand why, to go ask you. So he threw it back on the coach. And they told him, it got back to him. I don't know if they told him directly. And I don't think they did, but somebody must have said, and he called you the fat man. He didn't call you coach. He got in that meeting, and by the way, now it's spread through the team, and they go, oh, no, because, you know, if he had a job to do like Durrell was supposed to clear out, sometimes you got to clear out for other guys, like, hey, you're not going to get the ball, but you need to clear out the safety so we can throw in a square in behind you. They'll be open in man coverage. They're going to be doubling on the guy, and so Durrell, when he wasn't getting the ball, was known to jog when he wasn't getting the ball. So all this buildup from the coach telling him, hey, damn it, you got to run your pattern here. You're going to get somebody killed. If you don't clear out, somebody's going to get hammered. And so he just ripped him. He got in there, and he started a meeting. So we got one guy here that's obviously been selfish for a long time, accusing me of not throwing. And he went through the whole thing. He went through the whole thing, and I looked, and of course, the guy sitting next to me, receiver sat and tight end sat in one little area by each other in the team meetings, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the worst ever. And I was like, I give it to Durrell. I don't know how much it ever bothered him, but it was like, oh, Lord, you did not just call the coach out. All right, we got to go to a break. We've got.
You know what's amazing? Like when you tell the stories about your team, if I didn't know how good you guys were, like it would sound like you were dysfunctional.
No. We're very functional.
But some of these stories, like it makes it sound like.
But my point is 45 guys didn't always roll the same way.
Yeah.
Most guys did. But we had our moments because back then, low base, high incentives was a big thing for the Robbie family. Which, that's great until you get guys that are really good. And by the way, their incentives stayed on their base contract. So if they got $100,000, now listen, I only know two guys that hit every one. It was Clayton and Duper. And they were hitting them, and they had to add another 100 onto their base, and then they'd do it again. But I can tell you, man, that kind of stuff. Because guys want their numbers, man. You know, that was a way to make some money. All right, hey, we were not dysfunctional, and it's 7 o'clock, and I'm a little dysfunctional because I'm always late, but I will tell you about two guys. I love talking about, man, Gary and Harvey. Harvey Cohn and Gary Judah, the partners of Cohn and Judah Injury Law Firm, personal injury attorneys covering all of South Florida for you. I just want to let you know a couple of things. If you've been injured in a slip and fall, an automobile accident, or something that wasn't your fault, and you're looking around, and I know a lot of you have worked off the TV and seen the beautiful commercials, and you've gotten in there and going, this is where I want to go. Where's that guy I saw doing that commercial? And I go, well, he's not here, but he didn't get involved in cases. He's just the front guy. He's got his name on here. You'll get these two attorneys, a couple years out of law school right over here. Oh, okay. So you get it. I'm thinking, well, I got all these people working for me, and then all of a sudden you call, you're in pain, you're not doing well, and you can't get a hold of anybody. Oh, my gosh. And you finally figure out, you know what? I'm not a priority here. It looked great, sounded great, but I'm not a priority with this law firm right now. That's why I want you to think about seriously going with two partners who will handle your case, shake your hand, can come out and see you. If you can't get to them, they will come out and see you. Two partners with more than 60 years of experience between them. Go to the reviews. Cohn and Judah, go to the reviews and find out what people are saying about them. Made us feel like we were their only client. two partners who will handle your case from start to finish. I can't say enough. Again, just go to ConanJudah.com, knowing that when you walk through that front door, there's no handoffs. No, that's for football, not for a case. They're going to do a great job. 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work. You hire them to do.
Sports lives here. 104.3 FM.